All right, all right, all right.
That was good.
Thank you. Thanks. So we can get right into it, but the topic that we're going to talk about today was suggested by one of our peeps out there in podcast listeners.
One of our loyal listeners.
One of our loyal listeners, Michelle, suggested this one. We're going to talk about cults.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Yeah. What do you know about cults?
Depends.
Well, I actually watched the Scientology documentary
twice. I watched it once, but I really liked it.
It's fascinating, so if that counts as a cult, which I don't see why it wouldn't.
Here's the definition.
Because the name of the documentary is Going Clear.
Going Clear. I'm going to write that down. A cult typically refers to a social group devoted to beliefs or practices that the surrounding population considers to be outside the mainstream.
Yes.
Cults usually expect a large amount of time and money to be devoted.
Yes.
And sometimes a cult will ask the ultimate price.
Your life.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Check, check, check. I think Scientology fits into that.
Well, yeah. The first on our list is Scientology.
Oh, Mom, why didn't you just say that?
I did.
Oh.
Just now.
Well, it's just like insane.
Yes.
That it's so weird to
see. Who started it? What's the guy's name?
L. Ron Hubbard.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Brayden bought me one of his books for Christmas after we watched Going Clear.
That was real.
Or for my birthday, I should say.
Going Clear. Yeah, interesting. This is a quote from him. He started the religion in 1947. Quote from him. If a man really wants to make $1 million, the best way would be to start his own religion.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. It's so...
The LRH, is that what they call them?
Yes, and there's a video of, like, Tom Cruise, like, saluting a gigantic picture of him.
Crazy saluting him, too.
Like frantic, jerky motion saluting him, and they go, to LRH!
Yeah.
And then they sing happy birthday to him. John Travolta's on stage holding a cake, and they're all singing happy birthday to... L. Ron Hubbard.
The dead L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, he's dead.
At that point.
Well, he left his earthly body.
Yes, that's
there
true.
You go.
But it's just so creepy. And then there's, like, video of John Travolta in, like, the mid-90s talking about Scientology and how he's so stupid. He goes...
I feel bad for him.
I do too, but he's such an idiot. He's like, I don't know. I mean, you name me any other religion besides Scientology that is based in love.
Yeah.
I was like, what? You're so dumb. And then he's like, and they were like, have you ever...
It's not based on love, though.
It's not only that, but there's this, a bunch, every other...
Christianity at its core.
That's weird.
Every religion at their... Okay, but then...
Not everyone.
One of the interviewers was like...
As we'll get into
soon enough.
One of the interviewers was like, did you ever get to meet L. Ron Hubbard? And Travolta goes... No, but I wish I could be so lucky. I think he's just brilliant.
Yeah.
And this is out there. You're watching like an hour of them talking about what a lunatic Ron Hubbard is.
Exactly.
And then you see John Travolta calling him brilliant.
Well, and like they have video of John Travolta from like when he was like real young in it too. Like,
yeah.
Before he was really John Travolta. And that's just, I just feel bad for him. He's like trapped in that, you know, like he really is, I think. Trapped.
They're holding
in that
something
cult.
Over his head, but it's just like, we know you're gay. Just
free
yourself.
Allegedly.
I'm going to get sued. Oh my God, we're going to get sued.
Scientologists are no joke.
He's got to get in line.
I know, actually.
Dean Cain
is first. We should keep track of people who are going to sue us.
Who else can be slander?
Yeah.
So, Scientology was based on Hubbard's system of Dianetics, which he called the modern science of mental health. Yeah. Dianetics was supposed to be an alternative to modern psychology, which Hubbard claimed was lacking. According to those who left the cult, the core tenets of Scientology are hidden from members until they attain a certain level in the cult.
Mm-hmm.
The early stages involve manipulation of theoretic life force energy called theta, which represents the true identity of a person.
Yeah, and it's so funny, too.
But they do call them, like, thetans, too, don't they?
Yeah, thetans.
Yeah.
And then they call you...
Better watch that get going clear again, Amy.
I know, I've only seen it one time.
he would send Dianetics and, like, his theories to, like, psychiatry groups. Yeah. And they would be like, okay, crazy. Like, yeah. This is not even
anything. He's making it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, but I think he really started to believe it, though, at a certain point.
He had, like, a crazy ego, too. Like, I remember they were talking about, like, how he treated his first wife.
And he was a monster.
Horrible to her. Yeah, yeah. He kidnapped her
child and went to Mexico or something and would tell her that he was going to, chop her up and throw her in the ocean. And,
wonderful. So when you manipulate the life force, one gets clear, which is done through an auditing process by higher ranked members. Thetans are also a race which created the universe for their own enjoyment. But at higher levels, members are introduced to the story of Xenu, a tyrant who rules the Galactic Confederacy.
Right.
When he revealed that some people left the cult.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would. Well that's what you learn. Piece. Yeah.
That's the final thing you
But you've already sunk, like, millions of dollars into the cult at that point.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you move up, is just giving them money.
That's how you level up.
That's how you level up.
And then when they reveal the whole
thing. But now nobody has to, because there's so much written about it.
Oh, yeah.
I know, that's why they're, like, bleeding money.
Yeah.
Well, who would join that? Plus, they, like you were saying, they sue people, or they, you know, isolate them. Yeah, so that's L. Ron Hubbard's. Oh, and I guess they do intense therapy sessions that rely on the use of a lie detector test known as an E-meter.
Yeah.
Beck is a follower. Tom Cruise, you know.
Beck has been
Presley, too.
Yeah.
Beck has, was, like, born into
it. Yeah, he was. And so was Leah Remini. Like, so a lot of this. And who's the one? Juliette Lewis.
And Giovanna Ribisi and his sister, who's married to Beck. And it's, like, Beck's mother. Or
those Hollywood people will fall for anything, though.
Yeah, because it's like that. If you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yep.
Like, they're looking, and they're. That's why you go into show business, because you need constant, like, positive reinforcement. Yeah. They're looking for something to be a part of.
Well, and that whole thing is just, like, interviewing you the whole time. Like, that's talking the whole about auditing yourself. Product. Process is just
constantly just talking about yourself. I mean, what celebrity doesn't love that? They love it.
That's the genius of L. Ron Hubbard, is he knew exactly who to target.
Yeah.
And how to
they have money.
Manipulate them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, he knows that they'll buy into something, and if you get a few celebrities, they're all like, "Oh, this is the latest greatest thing."
Yeah. And then another thing that's hilarious is that, like, once you get up on a certain level, you do your own audit. So it's just a video of you sitting there holding these, like, cups or whatever they hold, these handle thingies.
Yeah.
And it's just them doing that, asking themselves questions in their own head. And so it's just them sitting there.
Yeah.
Holding these things.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because they were, I forget who it was they were asking. It was, like, one of the niece of David Miscavige was on Opie and Anthony.
Yeah.
And they were like, so what does that mean? You're just sitting there asking yourself questions and answering them? And she's like, well, like, you're thinking them.
Yeah.
You're not even saying them out loud.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
No. Not really. No. Okay, what do you know about... Now, how would you pronounce this? Hare Krishna or
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Wait, but I have so much more to say about Scientology.
Do you?
I kind of do.
Well, because she's watched Going Clear so many times.
That's
and it is fascinating.
It's
like,
so interesting.
Yeah, I was fascinated with them even before then. It's the same with, like, Mormons. Like, I'm just fascinated by, like, what would lead a person to, like, kind of believe something so kooky that's, like, clearly, historically can be disproven, like, quite easily. You know, like,
yeah.
And especially L. Ron Hubbard stuff. Like, he literally just invented it.
Wait till you hear the things people believe. Not even 100 years ago.
Well, I know.
Wait.
The thing that's, like, the saddest but also most, like, telling part of Scientology is that once you go off the rails or whatever, you decide you don't want to be a part of it anymore, they banish you, but they also, like, force you. Any of your family that's involved can't speak to you anymore.
Yeah.
They go on this, like, smear campaign and try to ruin your entire life.
Yep.
And they call you an SP. You're a suppressive person.
Yeah.
And so all those tabloids that came out and said that Tom Cruise hadn't seen his daughter, Suri, in 2 years.
Yeah.
And he tried to sue and he couldn't because he couldn't prove that it was wrong. That's because Suri isn't a Scientologist. Like, and Katie Holmes left Scientology
because
she didn't want to raise her daughter that way. And he doesn't see them. He really doesn't. And when he, even when he did, if he would go to see Suri, he wouldn't ever, like, be around Katie Holmes to get her.
Hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, now, basically, she's like a single mom raising her daughter without a father. Like, if you ever see pictures and stuff.
I know. Remember Katie saw them?
That cafe.
At Serendipity or something like that?
Serendipity 2, I think.
Yeah. Electric Boogaloo. And Leah Remini just came out with all that stuff, too, about being at their wedding and how she had to, like, apologize because she ruined their wedding. Suri was, like, crying on the floor alone. She was, like, a very small baby. And, like, nobody was paying attention to her at their wedding. And Leah Remini, like, jumped in and picked her up or something.
Mm-hmm.
And was upset that nobody was paying attention to an infant. And she had to apologize.
Because Katie Holmes tattled on her.
Yeah.
For picking up the child?
For picking up a baby that was, like, basically abandoned. Their wedding. Yeah. It was, like, in a bathroom or something, right? It was something weird.
Child was alone in a bathroom and Leah Remini
Their baby was, like, alone and, like, people were just, like, staring at the baby, like...
Why wouldn't anyone else pick her up?
I think because they're all kooks.
Why didn't the mother own?
Yeah, it was Katie Holmes' baby and they weren't even, like, around.
Oh.
I don't know. It was very weird. And then what? Leah Remini had to invite
J-Lo.
J-Lo and Mark Anthony.
They wanted to try to get her in.
So I bet.
She was, like, all excited to be invited to Tom Cruise's wedding, and then she was, like, she had to bring J-Lo if she wanted to go. And then they got, like, a beautiful picture of J-Lo with Leah Remini looking like a goblin in the
background. Oh, no. It's really funny.
Who would want to take a picture next to J-Lo?
I know, right?
Literally.
In itself is crazy.
Can you imagine that, like, Mark Anthony is actually, like, super sexy, but we've only ever seen J-Lo, so he looks like a skeleton. Yeah.
He is not an attractive person.
Well,
maybe deep down inside.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know, though. Their kids aren't that cute, and that's got to be all him. Because she's pretty.
Yeah. What do you mean she's like, pretty?
She's perfect.
She's amazing.
She's perfect. She's
amazing. I think there are people more stunning than her.
No.
The only other one more stunning, I think.
Maria Menounos.
Ivanka Trump.
She thinks that Ivana...
Is it Ivana?
Ivana's the daughter.
Okay.
Ivanka is the wife.
Ivana is, like, so pretty.
She's pretty.
She looks like
a chipmunk.
But I
put her in J-Lo camp.
She does look like a chipmunk.
Like, Charlize Theron, I feel like, is, like, one of those people that's, chipmunk, like, she's a lot prettier and more, like...
Yeah.
And Maria Menounos.
All
day.
She's
Marina.
Not cute.
No, she's perfect.
No, she's not.
Well.
You are. Okay.
Thanks.
There you go.
See, normally that would be a diss, but in this case, I turned it around.
All right, are we done with the Scientologists? Fine.
We need
if
to
we
move
come
on
back to it, maybe.
To the Hare Krishnas.
Okay, let's go.
All right, what do you know about them?
Nothing.
They're obnoxious. They're Indian.
They're not Scientologists.
I was just watching, An Idiot Abroad with Carl Pilkington.
Pilkington.
What did I say?
Pilkington.
No, I didn't say Pilkington. Because I know it's Pilkington.
Rewind the tape.
And Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, like, executive produce it, and they just send him all over the world, and they sent him to India, and they sent him to be with Hare Krishnas, and they were gonna, because they were running, like, a cow sanctuary, so Carl had to go see, like, what they do with all these cows, and they basically take their poop and, like, turn it into, like, fuel, but they have to, like, form patties with the, like, cow poop, like, by hand, and all this, so that's the last thing I saw with Hare Krishnas in it. But it was funny because Stephen Merchant was like, you're going to go hang out with Hare Krishnas, and they don't bother anybody. Like, and that's the joke, is that they just, like, annoy everybody at, like, airports and stuff.
Yeah. I don't... It's almost as though they've disbanded or disintegrated.
Kind of, yeah. They're not, like, as big a deal as I feel like they used to be.
What are their characteristics?
All right,
they got their hair. They're, like, hair-shaped, but they have a little ponytail on top.
Yeah.
Almost.
They wear white robes.
Like the fat Jew.
Mom doesn't know that's a person.
I know, that's
so
a reference that
both.
I made that's not anti-Semitic. It's a person.
No, of course not.
Mom was horrified.
Okay. Alrighty. So they were founded in 1966. The cult was a fixture in the 70s.
1966?
Yeah.
That's, wow.
I know.
Okay.
Yellow-robed disciples panhandling at every major airport and intersection. The epitome of hippie idealism, Krishna followers believed utterly in the god Krishna.
Utterly. Get it?
Cows.
Oh. Krishna.
Yeah. Krishna, who was actually a character created for a novel, Mahabharata. The distinctive, relentless chanting practiced by followers of this cult actually meant the energy of the Lord, Om.
Oh, they say Om?
Well, they say Om and like...
What else do they say?
Buddhism and yoga and stuff too, right?
No, I don't know. What did they have like a repetition thing?
I don't know.
Krishna followers lived a hard scrabble, Spartan existence with the barest level of sustenance and very little sleep. They suffered for the religion, believing they would be rewarded by ascension to a spiritual paradise after many reincarnations.
Mm-hmm.
However, not every member of the Krishna organization suffered. The higher echelons were well-fed, housed in luxury, and surrounded by women catering to their every need.
George Harrison wasn't a Hare Krishna, was he?
The Beatles were part of...
Okay, I thought so.
Part of that, for a time.
Yeah.
Not forever.
Was that like when he was playing the sitar and stuff?
Yes. Yeah, well, that was when they met up with like Ravi Shankar, when they did go to India and do it. But yeah, because that's when
Didn't
he like
meet,
wrote
like,
Norwegian
the Maharaja?
Word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maharishi?
Maharishi? Yeah,
I guess. Right. Christina
Ricci. That's when they met Christina Ricci when she was calling the Addams Family.
Yeah, that's it. All right. What do you know about the Unification Church?
What don't I know?
They're also known as the Moonies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
They are disciples of Sun Myung Moon. They believe that Moon
Some
himself is the divine being or Messiah. His status as the second coming of Christ allows him to live in royal fashion, supported by many followers all over the world. So he was born in North Korea in 1920, and he claimed to have had a vision when he was 16 that Jesus Christ did not finish his work on earth, which was having perfect children.
Okay.
That was his mission. And he, Moon, would carry on Jesus's work.
Right.
Okay.
Not a bad gig for a guy.
I was going to try and have perfect children.
With everybody you can get his hands on.
So he, preaching on behalf of this new faith in the wake of the Japanese withdrawal from Korea at the end of World War II, he was arrested and put in a North Korean prison camp. He escaped when the U.S. Army overran the camp in 1950 and made his way to America, where he became a Presbyterian.
Oh.
But then he was excommunicated from the Presbyterian Church in 1954. And then he founded the Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity.
Cool.
He told his flock that only he could choose their marriage partners, but that was after they were in the church for 7 years.
Oh.
And he became infamous for his mass marriage ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen those. Like,
yeah, I remember that.
By the 1970s, he was a successful businessman and had renamed the cult the Unification Church, moved to New York City. Let's see, there were stories publicized that that parents tried to get their kids out because they had to deprogram them because they've been brainwashed.
Go figure.
I know. Moon died in 2010.
So wow. Did he, like, have a bunch of kids?
Well...
He lived a lot longer than I would have thought.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if he had a bunch of kids.
I was going to say, like, maybe he's your dad.
She does look a little
perfect.
Korean.
Korean. Oh. He wanted to have perfect kids.
Well, that's true.
How could a Korean have perfect kids?
What?
I don't know.
Oh, you. I'm looking to see if he had any kids. It doesn't say.
Hmm.
It's unfortunate.
But it doesn't say that he didn't.
No, it doesn't.
That's true.
It's true. It's true.
There's basically a 50-50 chance that he's your dad.
Another belief system of the cult is that they believe an actual kingdom of heaven exists on earth, not just in the afterlife, as Christians believe.
And it is in?
Yeah, where is it?
Korea is the chosen realm of this kingdom, according to Moon, who has
earned Korea?
Millions and millions of dollars from Koreans, his chosen people, while preaching that Christian churches are the devil's instrument.
But he was a Christian.
Well, that's, but then they threw him out.
Yeah, of Presbyterian churches.
What do you expect?
I know.
For Pete's sake.
I know. All right, here's one. The Children of God cult. This was founded by David Moses Berg.
I feel like I just read something about this cult.
1968.
Really? Yeah. A lot of cults in like the 60s and 70s, huh?
Yeah. That was kind of...
Because of the drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They went into communes and whatnot. After his death in 1994, the Children of God changed their name to Family International. Berg was born in California.
That sounds like a charity group. That just
in 1990. I know.
Family of God. But it's like the human fund.
Would you like to donate to Family International?
Yeah.
It's probably.
How many people at Walmart would donate a dollar to Family International?
Members of Family International.
Not the Walmart people, I don't think.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, so this David Berg was a minister in Arizona, and then he moved his family to Texas. He created a widespread cult following through his writings. The beliefs are, it espouses Christian beliefs, although many churches would view his beliefs as heretical. He preached against moral decay and the belief of evolution, along with mainstream religion, Western-style capitalism, the Jewish people. He preached against all of this. Okay. And pedophilia laws.
Oh. He preached laws? Against pedophilia laws.
Yeah.
You're
yes.
like, oh, that's not too bad. Oh, wait a minute. That's the worst.
Exactly.
Let me finish.
Oh, cool. Oh, no. Yes. Yeah.
This is that like was like that
the
time.
Blue buttons.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
when
I was the boy.
Yeah, the poor special needs boy.
Or you made Matt Broderick fall off the sidewalk in Boston listening to it.
Sorry, Matt.
Oh, that's funny. So this seriously twisted cult.
I'd say. How did he get any followers?
Delivered like, an
you know,
evil
it's a
message
problem
that
not
sex,
being able to molest children.
Sex with children was natural and right.
Oh, God.
It was known for turning female cult followers into prostitutes who used sex to entice men into the cult. They were the purveyors of the system, a doctrine that included belief in the apocalypse.
Well...
Isn't that kind of just like in the Bible?
Actress Rose McGowan of Charmed was raised in the cult, and so was River Phoenix.
Oh, I knew the Phoenix family was part of some weirdness.
Yeah, another.
Wait, so does that mean that they had sex with the grown-ups?
Probably. He died of an overdose.
Yeah. Well, and Rose McGowan, I feel like, has got issues, right?
Well, she dated Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, wow. Well. See, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, and River Phoenix was only, what, like 23 or something? He was like a baby when he died.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it was like in the early 90s, and it's really weird because sometimes I listen to old love lines like from the 90s, and they talk about River Phoenix like, remember last year when River Phoenix died? And it's like so strange.
That's wicked weird.
To listen. And it's like, it's also weird because they're talking about like AIDS and stuff and like... It's kind of a new thing, like, that they're talking about, and it's just, like, because they sound exactly the same.
Yeah.
Adam and Drew just sound like...
It's like time
You're listening to Adam and Drew, yeah, and then they're talking about River Phoenix just died the other day, and AIDS is a new thing, and it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, and then I looked up how old he was, because I couldn't remember, and he was, like, so young when he died.
I know. Which is so weird, because you think of it, like... It happened back in the day.
I would have thought he'd be like 30.
Yeah.
You know, like, not, like, 20, basically. Yeah. And then I heard, like Joaquin Phoenix's like 911 call, and that was really depressing.
Oh, he was the one that called?
Yeah, it was really sad. He's like panicking.
Who called him?
Joaquin Phoenix.
How was he even old enough to be there? Wasn't it outside the Viper Room?
Yeah, but that was like Johnny Depp's club. They're all friends.
Yeah, how did Johnny Depp have a club? The Viper Room.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally just said that, Mom. Yeah. I go, well, I was like, how is Joaquin Phoenix able to be there? Wasn't it outside a club, the Viper Room?
I wasn't paying attention.
And you're like, well, and then she goes, well, it was Johnny Depp's club. So they were like all friends. And you're like, yeah, wasn't it? It was Johnny Depp's club that he owned. How did Johnny Depp own a club? The Viper Room.
She's in tune to what we're talking
See how
about.
I know
we should replay that. Like,
we should.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, like, it should just play twice in the podcast. Just so everyone can see.
Because you just verbatim reenacted
And then
what
we
happens.
Should replay it and then replay me retelling it.
Yeah.
Like, how you're not letting it go right now.
Yes.
Okay. All right. The Ku Klux Klan is also considered a cult, as is the Manson family.
Manson
we
family?
We know all about that.
The Ku Klux Klan, I don't. Are they a cult?
That's.
Or like.
That's what they're.
That seems like a little bit of a stretch to call them a cult.
I don't know.
They only have like 1,000 members left in the U.S. Something crazy like that. Like some very small number.
Yeah.
And I feel like their highest concentrations are like around here, like in New England.
Get out of town.
Like the Northeast. Yeah.
Oh. I
heard that and I was like, oh, that's actually like Connecticut and stuff.
Oh, that surprises me. Because I would have thought down south they would still be pretty active. But.
Down south, they're just people. That's the difference.
Yeah, but they don't,
they don't have a name.
Part of a group.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Do you remember anything about the Heaven's Gate people?
Yes.
Like, I had crazy eyes.
Crazy eyes?
Yeah. The one where they all wore the Nikes and killed themselves. They got like Hail Bop or whatever. Wasn't that Heaven's Gate?
Sorry, that's not funny, but to get on Hail Bop.
Yeah.
And they wore sneakers.
It was a Haley's Comet. It was
Haley's Comet, but Nanny used to call it Hail Bop. So
Hail
Bop. I don't know. And they jumped off the bridge in their Nikes and stuff.
No, they didn't jump off a bridge. They like took stuff and they.
It is Hail Bop.
Thank you. And no, but they they overdosed or whatever they did. Like
Kool-Aid?
And they were all in bunk beds.
Were they the Kool-Aid ones?
Well,
no,
that was
Jonestown.
That was Jim Jones's cult. Heaven's Gate made headlines in March of 1997.
Man, I used to call Haley's Comet Hail Bop.
When 39 members of the cult killed themselves in hopes of reaching a spaceship, which was following in the wake.
Yeah, it was behind.
Hail Bop.
Of the newly discovered Hail Bop Comet.
See?
Marshall Applewhite and
That's
Bonnie
it.
Nettles.
Yes. Bonnie. The name of a sane person. Always.
Yeah,
you can always trust a Bonnie, right?
Yeah. So Applewhite had a near-death experience in the early 1970s and claimed to have had a vision.
Okay.
That happens a lot.
Yes.
They have visions.
Yes. Well, their brain's, like, firing like crazy.
Bonnie Nettles was his nurse at the time.
Oh.
They became convinced they were the two. This is in quotes. The two.
So she's just a kook. He's just, like, a brain-damaged individual who she is tagging along with now.
Yeah.
Basically.
I guess. The two is mentioned in the book of Revelation 11:3.
Okay.
So then they began to attract followers.
Right. It doesn't take much.
The group took cyanide and arsenic, phenobarbital mixed with pineapple juice, and finally vodka.
Just to make it yummier.
Yeah, the pineapple juice.
They were all dressed in similar black attire and tennis shoes with armband patches that said, Heaven's Gateway Team. Heaven's Gate Away Team.
See, it's
okay.
Never...
I get it.
It's always a good time for a pun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
There's no wrong time to make a good pun.
Like the Getaway Team?
Yeah. The Gatorade Team.
The Heaven's
Gate Away Team.
So they were going to go...
I remember... Because when did that happen? That was in the 90s, right? When they killed themselves?
Yeah.
1997.
And I remember, like... was it really that late?
Yeah.
I would have guessed, like, 93 or something, but I remember SNL did. Because remember the pictures after it came out? It was all, like, the people covered up, but you could just see their, like, Nikes or whatever they were wearing in the bunk beds. Like,
yeah,
it was just, like, person after person, and then SNL did, like, a commercial, and it was for, like, Adidas, because it was, like, whatever the, the, like, other brand of shoe was. It was basically, like, you won't kill yourselves wearing these.
Wow. So they believed in UFOs and that the Earth and everyone on it was about to be wiped clean and recycled. The only chance of escape was to get off the planet immediately.
I'm fine with people getting off the planet. Quite frankly. The more the merrier. Bye. Yeah. Adios.
That was a weird one.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia's. Bye, Felicia's en masse.
What do you know about the Solar Temple?
Nothing.
Nada. Never heard of it.
Oh, all right. This is a cult with a charismatic leader, Luc Jorette. The Solar Temple preached the message of the apocalypse, claiming it would come through natural disasters. Only Solar Temple converts would escape the fate of mankind, since they were the faithful. They would be spared. The Solar Temple devotees believed that suicide was actually salvation, and that they would really be going on a journey to a star called Sirius.
Okay, like the dog radio. Star. That's what it is. The dog star. That's what Sirius is.
That's Keanu Reeves' band name.
It is his band name. But that's why the logo for Sirius Radio is a dog.
Oh, okay. So these beliefs were so strong that in 1994, 53 members of the cult were found dead of suicide in a compound near Geneva, Switzerland.
Geneva, that's so pretty.
He earned more than $93 million instilling the doctrine to his followers.
Really?
He was one of the dead in Switzerland. Apparently also on a death voyage to a distant star. Jorette started out as a Gestapo officer during World War II.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yep.
So he was probably close to death anyway in 93.
No.
He would have been, like, very elderly.
Yeah, I would think so. 50. Well, yeah, probably 70s.
Yeah.
80s, yeah. If he was an officer, he's probably
around 30s. In the 40s? Yeah.
Interesting. You remember the Branch Davidians?
Yes.
No.
David Koresh?
Yeah.
In Waco?
Yep. Waco, Texas. Yep. The Branch Davidians were formed by David Koresh, born Vernon Howell, in 1959.
Koresh more of a joined... lateral name change, I feel like.
I know, really.
Not really.
He joined the Church of the Seventh-day Adventists.
Hey, Ben Carson's.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
Ben Carson's in a cult.
But
Seventh-day Adventists.
But he was expelled due to his radical views. Among these views were the fact that he was a messiah. Wow. They all think they're a messiah.
Yeah.
And all women were his spiritual wives.
That's
they
awesome.
All love the women,
that's,
too.
Isn't that
or the
all
children.
Men?
Yeah.
the children. David Koresh formed the Branch Davidians, who believed the end of the world was near, and Koresh spoke the word of God. They located to Waco, Texas, and began to amass an armory of weapons. The combination of arming themselves in their Waco compound and Koresh's own scandalous sexual practices, including sleeping with other church members' wives and marrying underage girls,
mm-hmm.
brought an unwelcome spotlight on the Branch Davidians. There was a botched raid in 1993.
Very botched raid.
Yeah. Which ended
with... Couldn't have been more botched.
I know. It got worse and worse. 4 ATF agents and 6 Branch Davidians were dead. Koresh was wounded.
Only 6?
And then there was a 51-day siege on the compound.
Mm-hmm.
Which covered
51 days.
51. I know. That was crazy. In the end, let's see. Janet Reno was the attorney general at the time. They sent tanks in to inject tear gas into the building. Flames began to erupt throughout the compound. In the end, 77 Branch Davidians died in the fire. Among those were 20 children.
Ugh.
Yep.
That's the grossest part, is that there's something like Jonestown, too. There were so many kids.
Oh, I know.
And there were... Yeah.
Yeah, it was
like,
sad.
That's awful.
And then 2 years later, Tim McVeigh bombed the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma City, supposedly as payback for that.
Really?
Yeah. That's what he said? That's what he said, Tim McVeigh.
That's what she said?
That's what she...
Oh, yep. And then you have the People's Temple,
mm-hmm.
which is
the People's
Temple.
Court.
The People's Court. And then...
Are you skipping over Jonestown?
Do you want to do Jonestown?
Do Jonestown. That's probably my... I don't know.
Your favorite
cult? I didn't want to say favorite, but kind of my favorite.
The most interesting of all?
I think so.
The most interesting cult in the world.
Jonestown.
I don't always drink Kool-Aid.
But when I do, I die.
So Jim Jones was the leader of the People's Temple. He was an odd child who was intrigued at a very young age by religious zeal and a strong interest in death.
He, like, tried to bring his family to church, I feel like, all the time, right? And they, like, wouldn't go.
They were like, Jim, stop.
Yeah. Enough with this church.
Little Jimmy, Jim. Stop.
Yeah, come on.
Pancakes.
So Jones rose to become a macabre symbol of mind control and brainwashing. He cloaked his darker interest in death beneath a veneer of socialism, believing that true religious consciousness would lead to a socialist viewpoint. He felt that the Bible was ridiculous, a sort of joke or fairy tale, and his followers grew in number as he refined his own doctrine. Eventually, Jones and his disciples had to flee the United States, as they were pressured by the government regarding charges of violence, abuse of followers, and illegal cult activity. They escaped to a settlement in Guyana, which Jones renamed Jonestown. Mm-hmm. This is where the largest mass suicide in cult history was played out. The result of Jones convincing his followers that they were being pursued by foreign governments who would torture them and hurt their children. 909 followers, including many children, drank the infamous Kool-Aid.
Yeah. I listened to that audio.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you, on O&A, no. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
It's wicked disturbing, because it's when they're, like, giving it to the kids.
Oh.
And the kids are just, like, screaming, and they don't want to do it. And
yeah, I'm sure.
It's Jim Jones, like, on a, like, a microphone, like...
Like an intercom loudspeaker.
Yeah, oh, yeah, like, telling the parents to make them drink it, and...
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... Just bad. And those pictures are crazy too, like of all of them, like the over, like the helicopter shots or whatever.
Just a bunch of dead people.
It's just like bodies everywhere.
Over 900 people.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Let's see. What about the 12 tribes?
What's that?
It was founded by Albert Eugene Spriggs, also known as Yonak, in 1971. Spriggs claimed to have had a vision while on a Los Angeles beach. Before that time, he'd been a high school counselor and carnival barker.
Okay.
32 years later, Yonak was a jet-setting international traveler with palatial homes in the south of France, Brazil, and Cape Cod. He moved his cult around the country several times to avoid scrutiny. In 1984, authorities seized over 100 cult kids in a raid of Island Pond, Vermont, after brutal abuse allegations came to light.
Island Pond Road.
I know.
Down this street off of mine.
The group has 7 compounds in New England, but it's thought to have a total of 30 worldwide. Among their beliefs
is
no dichotomy between heaven and hell, but instead the 3 eternal destinies.
Okay.
Which are?
I don't know.
You don't get to find out. Why don't you join?
You have to join the cult to find out.
Apparently. Okay.
Okay.
That was easy.
Yes. Okay.
I'm just curious. Right. 7 years later, she's like, well, I still don't know, but...
How about $1 million deep at this point.
Exactly.
So. Have you ever heard of the Russian cult of Gadget Hackwrench?
Yeah, no. I think that's downtown, isn't it?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Gadget Hackwrench? That's kind of awesome.
The members of this cult believe that one of Disney's cartoon characters,
what?
Gadget Hackwrench, is a divine being.
What?
Gadget Hackwrench?
I've never even heard of that Disney character.
Is that their Russian interpretation of Inspector Gadget or something?
He appears in the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers cartoon series.
Could they have picked a more obscure character?
Probably not.
I
don't think so.
Probably not, yeah.
Ephraim the Retarded Rabbit, remember, was that? Family Guy instead of Roger Rabbit or something like that. Or Bugs Bunny, it was Ephraim the Retarded Rabbit, sorry. Ephraim.
Oh, Ephraim.
Ephraim the Retarded Rabbit.
So, apparently Gadget Hackwrench is a mouse who's also a pilot, a mechanic, and an inventor.
Ooh. He's a jack of all trades. If you're going to follow
somebody.
He's a
jackrabbit of all trades.
No, he's a mouse.
Oh, he's not a rabbit.
he's a jackalope.
She is apparently.
She?
She is a mouse.
And her name is Gadget Hackwrench?
Yeah. The members of the cult believe that she is firm, adorable, and so well versed with technical knowledge that nobody on earth can match her skills.
Wow.
The most common practice of the cult is to burn candles around a big colored poster of Gadget Hackwrench.
Okay.
It's also believed that the character is capable of granting wishes, so the cult members chant before her poster.
Oh.
Okay.
That's weird. Yeah. When did that start?
No way. That's not real.
That's the one that I take issue
weird.
With.
That's a little bizarre.
That's a little strange.
I'm not sure when that one started.
That's the least plausible.
Just now, she made that up. She's trying to see how gullible we are.
I know, right?
Nuh-uh. So I thought this was interesting. Like, that kind of got me thinking about other weird religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Rastafari.
Rastafarian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these are things to know about. So when most people hear the word Rastafari, they think of men with dreadlocks, of smoking ganja, and of men with dreadlocks smoking ganja.
I certainly do.
Who wouldn't? Did you know, though, not all Rastafari smoke weed?
That's not true.
There's like two guys that don't, and that's because they have asthma.
Well,
they just have edibles.
They make it in their, they make brownies.
Many people are attracted to the idea of being a Rastafari because it means they have a religious excuse to smoke weed. Some of them may be surprised then that smoking weed is not only optional for Rastafarians, but isn't really all that central to their faith. Some choose not to smoke it at all. Recently, though, Snoop Dogg decided to change his name to Snoop Lion.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yeah, we talked about
it. Is she joking? Mom.
To Your show boy? His adherence to Rastafari after he spent some time in Jamaica.
Sometime. A weekend or two.
However, many Rastafari have raised an outcry claiming that they see little actual faith in his behavior and think it is only an excuse for Snoop's love of weed.
What? Like, he needs an excuse to love weed? That's kind of silly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I doubt he's trying to use it to legitimize his love of weed.
I don't know. Maybe he just feels like his personality fits that.
That too. Belief.
Yeah. So Haile Selassie is who they look to as like the one who started it.
Huh. Rastafarianism?
Yeah.
Haile?
So Marcus Garvey.
Yeah.
In the early 1900s, prophesied that a new black king would soon come to Africa, and that man would be the Messiah. Not long after this, in Ethiopia, a new king was crowned, and his name was Haile Selassie.
Okay.
Seeing this as a sign of what was prophesied, the burgeoning Rastafari movement took this man as the second coming of Jesus. However, while most people would not believe in a second coming of the Messiah solely based on prophecy, the Rastafarians wouldn't either. They point to other evidence as well, particularly the claim that Haile Selassie is related to King Solomon, giving him a connection to Jesus.
Okay.
Haile Selassie denies being a reincarnation of Jesus.
You said no, no, you are.
Yeah.
Nope. Let us worship you.
Kind of.
That's so...
Yeah, it sounds like he doesn't really get why he's been dragged.
That's pretty funny. Is he actually, like, a descendant of King Solomon?
I don't know.
Who can say?
Who's to say?
They have a special diet called Ital, a word that stems from vital.
Okay.
Many people confuse Ital with vegetarianism or veganism. It's actually a diet of its own and may change somewhat based on the denomination of Rastafari or the individual.
Well, that's convenient.
I was going to say.
I know. So they don't eat any processed food.
Unless they want
they
to.
Want yeah. They won't eat red meat, believing that it rots inside their body.
That's disgusting.
That's probably kind of true, too.
I don't even want to hear that sentence.
Because it's supported by being all right with the Bible. But some refuse to eat fish. Others will remove dairy from their diet and go closer to full vegan. The main idea is simply
never
to
go
eat natural
vegan.
Foods that are good for you.
It's so weird, though, because it's like the Bible, like, obviously doesn't support Oreos, but maybe it would have. You know what I mean?
If they knew about Oreos.
The Bible does support fish or doesn't support
does,
fish?
Does.
Yeah.
You know, the
loaves and fishes.
Right.
So I'm just saying, it's like you can't base your diet on what the Bible's cool with, because there's a lot more options now, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Am I speaking English? What?
What is she saying? What?
I think we need an interpreter.
So too.
They believe their body is a temple. They don't like to be called Rastafarians. So okay. Rastafaris, I guess. They
don't like it.
Their philosophy is they believe that anything ending in I-A-N-S and I-S-M-S, so Ians or isms, represent the corrupt Babylonian system that oppresses people all over the world. I-A-N-S,
though, in Armenian is son of. That's why all their stuff ends I-A-N-S, like Kardashian.
Well, not someone's last name. As
I know,
group.
But I'm saying you just specified I-A-N-S. And Jessica brought up the Kardashians I was explaining.
So okay. Considering themselves a religion or an ism of any sort is seen as accepting a system that is anathema to what they believe. Let's see. Oh, they want to, they rely heavily on the Bible when it comes to their religious beliefs and yet have their own idea of a paradise. Members of the Rastafari movement feel that they are in a sort of hell or purgatory as their ancestors were removed from their homeland against their will.
And brought to beautiful Jamaica.
I know, Africa is their version of Zion. It is a paradise on earth, and the goal of many Rastafari is to move back to Africa.
Okay.
I think they can probably at any time. Right?
Go for it.
Yeah, I don't know what would be stopping them.
Have
from
a ball.
This
they're
is,
too high.
Well, this is more of a cultural yearning than a solely religious belief, and makes perfect sense after the colonialist oppression that so many black people faced.
Right.
For this reason, it's about more than just returning to Africa for most Rasta. It's actually about building Africa into something even better, preserving African culture, and celebrating a way of life that many feel the Babylonian society tried to take away from them.
Okay.
They have their own Lyaric dialect, which is an offshoot of Jamaican and Creole.
Oh, okay.
Jamaican Creole was originally derived from English by African slaves who'd been brought to the island of Jamaica. The Rastafari, as an empowerment movement, took the language and modified it both in dialect and philosophy to meet their needs, forming a new dialect known as Lyaric.
Okay.
One of the most important concepts is the use of pronouns. So they'll use I instead of me, you, or any other pronoun. They do this to express the connection between all people and to acknowledge everyone's humanity. Rastafari also prefer positive expressions whenever possible. Instead of someone saying they are dedicated, they might say livicated to show vitality.
Oof. That's
and oppressed would be downpressed to indicate the direction that the oppression is coming from.
Okay.
And someone might also overstand something because it sounds more upbeat than understanding.
Oh my.
Okay.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. I don't care for it.
I'm going to pass on that one.
So, you're not going to be joining the Rastafarians?
What about Pastafarians?
The Pastafarians. Now, that's something new. Did you hear about the woman? She made a big stink about having her driver's license photo taken wearing
a pasta strainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care for this woman.
Lindsay Miller of Lowell, Mass.
She's
of course,
in
she's from Lowell. Cited
her religious beliefs as a member of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster should allow her to wear the metal pasta strainer on her head during her license photo.
Mm-hmm.
She was previously denied a license renewal in August because Mass Registry of Motor Vehicles doesn't permit hats or head coverings except for religious reasons. And then she said to the Boston Globe, they were kind of laughing at me.
As they should have been. They should have said, no, you dummy.
Well, they did.
And booted her out. No, well, they did, but then they didn't.
Yeah, so she must have come. I don't know how she managed to convince them.
Well, now it's just kind of like, what else can we do? What else can we convince them of?
Yeah.
I know.
She's an a-hole. I have no patience for people like her. She's just obnoxious for the sake of being obnoxious.
Yep. She loves the history and the story of Pastafarians.
Is she an English teacher? Doesn't she seem like an English teacher?
I don't know.
An English teacher.
I bet you anything.
Like Miss Lippy or something from Billy Madison. She's like a preschool teacher.
I bet you.
She eats glue or paste.
I don't know. All right, here's another. Have you ever heard of the Prince Philip movement? Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, married to Queen Elizabeth. So there's an island nation in the South Pacific, the Republic of Vanuatu.
Okay.
It's called Tana, one of the islands on the archipelago. There's a small village called Yonanan.
Mm-hmm.
And the people there believe that the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, is a divine being.
Aww.
One of their ancient lore says that a pale-skinned son of the mountain spirit would cross the seas and travel to a distant land where he will marry a very powerful and wealthy lady. He married Queen Elizabeth, mm-hmm. So yeah. The villagers believe that this so-called pale-skinned son of the mountain spirit is none other than Prince Philip.
Is it this Prince Philip?
Who would bring prosperity to their nation.
Married to Queen Elizabeth II?
The very
okay.
one.
Okay, okay.
Yep. It's one of the cargo cults whose main aim is to acquire material wealth from developed nations. There's about 5,000 followers.
Oh.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. That's bizarre.
I know.
Did you ever see the picture of Prince Philip at the Olympics? I think it was the 2012 Olympics. And he's sitting, like, in the stands, and he's wearing a kilt.
Oh.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, he likes to do that.
Oh, he does? Yeah. Is that his thing?
Yeah. Well, he's of Edinburgh, right?
No, but I'm not saying just that Edinburgh? He was wearing a kilt. I'm saying he wasn't wearing anything under the kilt. And you could
you're
see.
You're not supposed to. Oh.
Everything that was going on under his kilt.
No.
Why are you guys thinking? Was he porky?
I thought you guys
no, because he was wearing a kilt.
I thought you understood when you said
I
that.
I did.
Yeah,
I understood, but then you just kind of stopped.
No,
you
I'm went, supposed oh. to wear nothing.
No, I know.
I know, but you're supposed to wear that thing that like holds it down, right? That like pouch thing. There's the thing
the
that
nut sack.
The sack, yeah. Jessica, your mother's in the room, you pig.
Whatever. Okay.
All right.
Me. Sorry I brought it up.
The Aetherius Society.
Aetherius?
Aetherius. Aetherius Society. This is another UFO religion founded in 1954 by George King.
Uh-huh.
Aims to combine alien wisdom with yoga and generate a powerful energy in order to help humanity.
I hope they all...
Their motive is to prevent
the planet. Also,
their motive is to prevent our planet from destruction. Okay, by building good relations with the aliens.
Okay,
they take some of their principles from Christianity, mm-hmm. Buddhism, Hinduism, and believe that Jesus, the Buddha, and Krishna were in fact aliens who thrived for the betterment of mankind.
Okay,
the betterment of mankind.
Mankind.
Supposedly they were informed by aliens that about the Chernobyl disaster 4 hours in advance.
Well, that's not enough time to do anything.
And they claim they claim to have 650 followers. So
I have more followers than that on Facebook.
They're not followers.
I call them my followers.
Fans. Sorry,
yeah,
fans.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know which one would be worse in that case.
All right, I'm going on to my... I have more of those, but I want to read you some of my funny stories.
Can't I tell a joke?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. So this guy was grocery shopping, and he ran into an old friend from high school that he hadn't seen in, like, 20 years. And wow. He was like, hey, how have you been? And the guy was like, oh, my God, so good. Like, I have this awesome house. I have this great job. I have the hottest wife. Check her out. And he showed his friend a picture of his hot wife. And he was like, isn't she so gorgeous? And the guy was like, if you think she's gorgeous, you should see my wife. And he's like, why? Is she really pretty, too? And he's like, no, she's an optometrist.
That's funny.
I get it. No. It's like, that's
was
funny.
Ugly.
Yeah.
So, and it was implying that he couldn't see well.
How ugly his wife was because she was so hot. Why ruin...
Love is blind.
Exactly. Why ruin that man's love of his ugly wife?
So, do you guys remember... when we talked about those people that do terrible things to themselves, like body dysmorphia.
Yeah, the chick that blinded herself.
We both sent you the same article.
Yeah, the girl that blinded herself.
I'm reminding everyone out there, too.
Oh, is that what you're talking about?
No.
We're saying we both sent you an article about the one that blinded herself.
And she was on Dr. Phil. Awful. She was on Dr. Phil, yeah. And she was talking about how like happy she was.
She bleached her eyes, right?
Yeah, drain cleaner.
Yeah, oh, God.
In her eyes. And she said it hurt so bad that all she could do was scream. And then
what
the therapist that
happen?
Did it took her to...
The therapist did it?
Yep, this guy like that she met
Should
online.
Should be in jail.
Well, and then Dr. Phil was like, okay, so he brought you to the hospital? And she was like, yeah. And he's like, and they arrested him on the spot, right? And she was like, no.
Well, I don't understand.
There's something where you'd have to press charges, like someone would have to...
But how is
their story
like...
was that it was an accident. That's what they said for, like, a while.
She doesn't, you know, give the story.
Yeah.
But still, this person
But how could he not have his license revoked? Why? Like, why is he, like, messing around
Maybe
with drain cleaner near
have
the face?
You don't know.
Yeah, but that would have come out by now, too.
All right, well, I have another one.
Okay.
And this is... Prepare yourself.
I'm scared now.
Okay.
Now?
A man who had his face and eyeballs tattooed to look like his pet parrots.
Oh.
Has gone a step further by cutting off his ears.
Ew.
Ted Richards, he's English, 56, Ted. Is obsessed by pet parrots Ellie, Tika, Timmy, Jake, and Booby.
Jeez Louise,
Bubby,
they're...
B-U-B-I. And has his face tattooed with colorful feathers. He has 110 tattoos, 50 piercings, and a split tongue.
Don't they live forever, too, parrots? Don't they live, like...
I don't.
80 know. Years or something?
But he's going to have to live like a long time like that.
Yeah. He had both his ears removed and is planning to find a surgeon prepared to turn his nose into a beak.
Where would... Why would
Can
somebody remove his ears?
I don't know.
I mean,
that's
like...
what I mean.
He's
like,
got to be going to some like weird third world.
He's a retired shoe factory worker. He got his first tattoo in 1976.
At the Paris Shoe Company?
He has...
It's from Jumanji.
Oh.
We enjoy Jumanji references on this
Jumanji
side of the table.
Joke.
Yeah.
Good one.
Remember when I tweeted David Alan Greer about his on Instagram about his shoes that he made at Paris Shoe Company?
Did he ever answer you?
No.
He shut up.
And then I just stopped following him.
I'm not done with this meme.
Sorry, we're talking about Dag.
He had a peace sign branded on his left shoulder with a 750 degree centigrade hot iron.
It's not even that hot, though.
It's like 30 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's more than that. That's pretty hot, Jess. And he has two magnets
implanted
in his head.
He had a cold branding iron pressed against his flesh. He colored it red with a Sharpie.
He scours the internet looking for new procedures and says his facial transformation is a tribute to his babies. Ellie, a green-winged macaw, and Tika, a harlequin macaw. I have a picture of him. Look at this. Is one of his macaws is on his head.
I'm going to need to put a picture of
him. It's
going to
be funny if he ever has a real baby and he sees that it just automatically looks like him.
Ew. Can you imagine if that's how quickly that kind of thing worked?
No, I mean, like,
had he had his ears
a real baby.
This already?
Yes. Yes, his
just
ears
looks like
removed.
Yeah, you can kind of tell.
Yeah,
I'm a sad, weird man.
Did you hear about the Australian fast food chicken franchise called Chicken Treat?
Chicken franchise?
Chicken franchise.
Chicken
Wait,
franchise?
What is it? Is it a chicken franchise or a chicken franchise? Chicken franchise.
Wow.
It's a
Did you hear about
franchise.
That meal? Did you hear about that famous meal that someone had?
No, it's a chicken treat. It's a chicken franchise.
Okay.
Chicken
Stop saying chicken because chicken's bothering me right now.
Treat.
For chickens or for people?
For people. Okay, so they hired a hen called Betty to run their Twitter account.
Is she a hen
Are you just being derogatory? She's a hen. Her name's Betty, and she runs their Twitter account. They put the computer in her coop, and for the last week, the tweets have been coming out nonsensical strings of characters.
Thank God. That'd be so creepy.
And she backs out her walks over the keyboard.
She wrote the great American novel in a week.
However, they're trying to have her continue to do this until she can successfully tweet a 5-letter word in English. And then she'll be able to go in the Guinness Book of World Records.
A 5-letter word?
On Thursday, she typed bum.
B-U-M?
Yeah.
That's really cute. I like Betty.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
She typed bum.
She's getting there. Yeah, she's got two more words.
Two more letters.
I mean.
Yeah, but, okay. Bummer. That's her next one.
Oh, I hope.
Yeah, right.
I can only hope. That's not bad, though.
No.
You know, using her beak and her feet.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
That's how I type at work, with my nose and my feet.
All right, is it time for the latest poop?
Yep.
Ready? Okay.
Uh-huh.
So when a man attempted to siphon gasoline from a motorhome parked on a Seattle street, he got more than he bargained for. Police arrived at the scene to find an ill man curled up next to a motorhome trying to steal gasoline and plugged his hose into the motorhome's sewage tank by mistake.
Good.
The owner of the vehicle declined to press charges, saying that it was the best laugh he'd ever had.
Good. I'm glad.
Oh my.
That whole story makes me happy.
Serves you right. Serves you right, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
Ugh.
All right.
Is that it?
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right. Thanks to Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle. Good topic.
My buddy Michelle.
We've got some more coming in, so keep all your suggestions coming.
And we may have a special guest next time.
We'll see.
We'll see if we can figure it out.
Yeah.
All right.
A celebrity guest.
Yes, a celebrity.
Famous celebrity guest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, I had a lot of fun.
Me too.
Me too.
You guys are funny. Until next time, then, I love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye, Felicia.